the 7th chapter of Matthew. It's what I'm going to preach tonight. And if you got it, and when you get it, just stand up, and I'll read it. I'm going to start in the first verse there. It says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Judge not that you be judged, for which follows judgment, you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you meant it, shall you be measured to you again. And who and by why behold thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam in thy own eyes? Or how will they say to thy brother, let me pour out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam in thy own eyes?" Let us pray. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again for the opportunity to come to the foot of the cross, Lord. Once again, Lord, it's so tall, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross, Lord, and let me preach the message that you give me, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, just let me be that willing vessel, Lord, like I always preach, Lord. Let me stand now, Lord, and you walk through us, Lord. Let me say what you want me to say, Lord. Help me to say that maybe it touch someone's heart here, Lord, or maybe be a help to someone when we go out, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to help me, Lord, to do your will, Lord. Help me, Lord, to stand boldly on you, on your word, Lord. And, Lord, I ask it all in your most precious name, my King, King, and Lord, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Like I was saying here in this verse here, you might look, it said, it's talking about judging. In my open comment today, a lot of us Christian people, we are fast to judge somebody. We are fast to really look at them instead of stopping and really doing what God wants to do. God can put something in our mind instead of stopping and doing what God says. And then I know you, a lot of us have been here in school. When me and Mark was in school, I don't know if he can remember it. But I believe it was our English teacher. One day we got in there, and she just got about 10 of us up on the front of the class, and she told one thing in one's ear, and then she told them, just keep what I tell you. She said, you tell this and go around the class. She divided us up in 10 different spots in the class and said, go to each one of that person and tell you what I told you in the ear. And time it got around to that 10th person, and what she said is this, that we're going to have a test Friday. That's what she told the first one. By the time it got around to the other 10 persons, we was going to have a test Friday, and it was going to be an open book test. And they just added more stuff to it to make it sound worse than what it was. And that's what we're doing today to do is if when the Lord tells us to do something or the Lord tells us to do, we are fast to judge someone. And there's three steps the Lord gave me last night, Saturday morning when I was laying in the bed, and then last night when I was sitting there reading my Bible, there's three steps that the Lord showed me to do. For us to do as Christian people, we need to do before we open our mouth. And I'm going to try my best to give you them three steps like the Lord gave me. Maybe this message is just for me because I was one of the worst that was fast to judge somebody when I was out and doing my meanest. Or when the Lord first caught me, I thought I was always on fire for God. And I really wasn't meaning to do nothing wrong, but I was doing more wrong by what I was doing than stopping and doing. The first step is, the Lord showed me, is to stop. When the Lord tells you to do something or tell you to go out on, when we go on a visitation or a witness or you go to knock on that door, the Lord might have put something in your head to tell him. But before you open your mouth, stop and just look what you're fixing to say. Look at what you're fixing to say. Make sure and kind of say it over in your, this is the way I do it, kind of say over in your mind what you're going to say, because if you hurry up and just do like I was telling you in the first of my opening of my comment, say it, you might be doing, the devil might be throwing something in there in your mind that you spit out. If it's the first thing that comes in your mind, you say it. It might be the devil putting that thought in your mind to help him to stop whoever you're talking to by getting saved. You see what I'm trying to say? We need to watch what we say before we open our mouth. We need to know what we're going to say before we open our mouth. Not to judge, because there ain't but one judge, and that's God. We are just laborers. We go out there to do what God wants us to do. We are supposed to go out there and be his helpmate. Like Johnny said, you know, it might be our only ears and mouth and thing that God's got down here on this earth. We need to do that, and we need to do make sure before we open our mouths to say, is that really what God wants us to say? Is that really what God is trying to tell us to say? You know, it's to stop. James 1:26, it says, if any man among you see, be rigid and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, the man's righteousness is in vain. You see what I'm saying? I tell you what I'm saying. The tongue is the smallest part of our body. But when it's come to deceiving somebody or trying to tie somebody, it could be the biggest part that you got in your body. It could be the worst thing that you got on your body is this thing right here between your teeth. You know, it don't take but just a few words to tie down what somebody, another Christian person, or as God has built up. It don't take but just a few minutes to tie that person down or to make that person come out of this church or any other church. If you know, you watch what you say, because don't judge. You know, the old saying, when you point your finger at somebody, you got three pointing back. And the Lord showed me when I was judging about the hand, you know, and I was sitting down one night and I was telling my son something, and I really thought I was really getting, laying the law down to him. And then I happened to look down at my hand and looked at my finger pointing at my son, and there were three more pointing back at me. And I just sat down and I stared at my hands for a few minutes, and the Lord told me, said, look, son, said, you got one pointing at your son and three pointing back at you. Did you look at, did you see what's in your life, ain't stuff in your life? Whatever you telling your son, they wanting something in your life is just as bad or three times as worse as whatever. And your thumb was God sitting over there shaking his head. You know, we ought to be together like a fish, you know, be together as Christian people. We don't need to be out there pointing fingers at our Christian friends or our lost loved ones or our friends, you know, just because we got saved. And they might not be out there and not be saved. You know, if we want our families to get saved, then we got to know, we got to be like Christ. Like, they got to see a change in us. If we out there browbeating them and telling them what their sins is wrong, you know, a lot of Christians, they'll see somebody, the two things that they hang up on is drugs and alcohol. But you don't, they don't look, you know, they might, their family members might be on drugs or alcohol. It might be something else. But they don't, let me give you an example. I guess I'll just point towards me tonight, and I won't hope to be pointing fingers. I'll use my old self. Now, when I used to get out there and testimony to tell my friends, well, you need to quit that drinking. You needed to quit doing this. And all along, I had a Marlboro Light in my fingers or a big chew of Red Man in my jaws, you know. And I was sitting out a witness to them, trying to tell them what they was doing wrong. And then one day God said, why are you pointing fingers at them before they're saying, look what you're doing. You're seeing that smoking that cigarette or that drinking beer. And all along, I thought, that wasn't, you know, I wasn't too bad to do that. But it was just as bad. A sin is a sin. There's no big, in this Bible, if you look from Genesis to Revelation, they don't say no big sin or little sin. It says sin, S-I-N. It could be a small sin or it could be a big thing. It could be a murder. A sin is a sin, no matter what you do or what you did. But and then you need to watch what you say before you go to say it, because it could tie somebody down. If you want to see that lost one saved, then you need to stop. The second one thing of our verse, I'm trying to slow down, but trying to say what God wants us to do. The next thing, the steps we need to do before we go out and do something is look. We need to look. And what I'm saying, before you go out to on visitation or go out to, if God's telling you to go witness to somebody or God's sending you to do it, or if we start this all you class up and thing, but if somebody comes in, it might be dirty. I've heard the preacher say this so many times, and other pastors, Johnny might have said it a couple of times. You know, if a person comes through that door that's dirty, smells to high heaven, or got dirty clothes on, or don't look, before we go to thing, we need to stop. And before we go out, go by a mirror and look. Look in that mirror and look who do you see. Do you see Jesus Christ in that mirror? No, you see yourself. You're not perfect. And you're not sin free. If you a lot of Christian people, and I'm not pointing fingers, but a lot of Christian people think when they got saved, that made us perfect. You show a perfect Christian that's walking on this face of the earth, or sin free, or whatever it might be, then I'll show you, tell you, let's walk down the streets to go, because we're gonna be in heaven. If you see there ain't no perfect person down here on this face of the earth, there wasn't one perfect person to walk this face of the earth, and that was Jesus Christ. I know the Bible says we got to strive to be perfect. We got to strive and not to willfully sin. But we might sin daily. We might not think we sin, but there might be stuff that we do. And one of my biggest things is at going home at night, turning on that one-eyed devil, grabbing a gallon of milk and a box of Oreo cookies and sitting down eating about 10 pounds of them. You know, you might not think that's a sin, but that's a sin. That's glutton. You know what I'm saying? Or going home and open up a pack of bologna sandwich and a loaf of bread and a big Vidalia onion and eat half of a loaf of bread before you stop. You know, I'm just giving you some examples that you would do before we go out, before we go to that person. We need to stop and look in the mirror. We need to stop and look what we're going to say. Look what we're going to say to them, because it don't take but just a little bit. And I know I keep saying that, but I want to try to get drive that point home, because the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, sow what you reap, you also, whatever you sow, you also reap. Just like the preacher was talking about today, that seed, you know. We plant that seed. If the Lord sent me, if Johnny was lost or something and sent me over to Johnny's house, I might go plant that seed, all right? The pastor might go back and throw water on it, and then Kenneth and the Lord go back and get Johnny saved. You know, it don't take, it might take a bunch of people to go. It might, you know, you might go to one door as a witness and knock on the door, and they might get saved that night. Or it might take you 5 or 6 times going back to that door and knocking on it. It might take somebody else to go. Don't get just discouraged because you or try to browbeat them because you got to be like God, Christ like. And I'm trying to slow down before I get to my last point, but I'm going to give you an example here. If you go to when I was lost and done without God, and I tell you right now, if somebody come to my door and raise their voice to me, you was ready to fight, because I couldn't stand nobody to scream at me or holler at me. And most of those Christian people is like that. You go, you see a lost one or a homeless person on the streets, we'll go up to them and we'll start, you need to quit doing this, you need to quit doing that, you need to quit doing that. But I'm just going to give you an example. Which way would you think that you might get your point over to a person if you walk up to a lost person and you start saying, slamming your fist down, say, you need to quit your drinking, you need to get out of the gutters, you need to get up and get clean, you need to do this, you're going to die and go to hell? Or would you say, go up to them and say, well, brother Johnny, brother Mark, brother Todd, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know that I don't need to stay here and tell you what you're doing wrong. I'm just coming here to show you that there's a better place. There's a better way than what you're doing. Let me help you. Let me tell you. Let me show you what. Let me tell you what God's showing. I know I'm not sitting here to tell you, because your sins, I got sin in my life. Your sins might look bigger to you than it does me, but we all not perfect. The only thing different between me and you, Todd, is that I'm saved. You know, I've asked God to come in my into my heart, and that's what I'm here today to try to get you to do. To ask God, let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about the one that's in my heart, that's helping me out. Let me be that shoulder to lean on. Let me be that person that you need to be. You know, because as this day and time, us parents, and I'm gonna kind of get on the parents tonight too, like me and Johnny went to Wednesday night or Tuesday night at that person, and he said that he didn't want to come. He wanted to get in the church where he could his kids can get involved in the church. You know, this day and time, you look around all these churches this day and time, all they got for the kids is to put a number on the back and a ball in their hand or something like that, or come into the church and send them in the back room and let them play video games or get their belly full of candy, instead of not telling them what they need to do, need to be in this Bible, and that's how to get saved and what this thing is. You know, my other message was sticking with this old Bible. You know, that's what we need to do. Is this day and time, when I got out and I got up, and it's like that lady was talking about, on one of the ladies, like might have been that man on this video, you know, when all of my life I've been in church, but when I got up about 16, 17 years old, I moved out because I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. But all of the stuff that my mom and daddy taught me and the preachers that I was set up on when I was little, stuck in my mind. This old stuff right here that they taught me stuck in my mind, even when I was out there doing my meanest and stuff like that, even when I picked up that beer can or stuck at drugs in my mouth, in the back of my head, Todd, you don't need to be doing that. Todd, you don't mean it. But I turned a deaf ear to the Lord until one night he showed me how much I love to live. When that guy jumped on me and put almost 2,000 stitches in me, you know, sometimes it takes the Lord a little bit, had to knock you over the head. But I'm just saying, if you get your kids in there today, and parents don't send them off to play basketball or something at church, when you send them to whatever church you send them to, make sure that they're teaching this whole thing right here. Make sure what they're doing is they're teaching this Bible. Make sure that they got a program that somebody that they're sitting on has got the time to say and tell them what they need to know about this old Bible. Because one day we're going to have to stand before God and give accountants of what we say. You know, one day we're going to have to stand before God. Did you, as parents or as Christians, did you do what I told you to do? Or did you do what I tell you to do? And the last part, and I'll try to hurry up and quit boring you, but the last part is you need to is listen. You need to stop, and when God is talking to you, to telling you what to do, block out everything in your mind. Or when you go to talk to a lost person, sit down and take your time to listen to what they're saying. Listen to them, because the devil already got them beat down so bad that they don't know what they're doing or need something. They might be coming to you for that safe haven. They might need to come to you to try to tell you because they know that you're a Christian or know that you can get in touch with God. They're coming to you. They don't need you to, when a lost person or somebody's coming to you, they don't need you to sit and point fingers at them or tell them what they're doing wrong. They need you to be their friend. They need you to tell them that we love them, God loves them, and we're here to help them. We need to sit and listen to what they're saying, because I know when I was out in sin, people that come and try to shove it down my throat, I turn a deaf ear to them. But the people that come and show me love like my mom and my grandma or other Christian people that really just sit down and talk to me softly, I give them an open ear. In other words, I listen to what they were saying because I took it to heart. But if you come and try to tell me what I was doing wrong and shove it down my throat, you was wasting your breath. Because you was talking on deaf ears. And that's what we need to do now. We need to sit and listen to them. We don't need to tell them what they're doing is wrong. One of the scriptures about it is, I lost it, I guess. But we got to tell them. But I want to tell you a little something about judging and thing. And then I'll give it, and then I'll close. I don't know if I've ever told you this story about it. It was a preacher in the drunk, and I'm going to tell you this story. This preacher, he got on the train, and when he got on the train, he was looking around to try to look where he could find a place to sit. And the only place he had to sit, there was a man sitting down, old drunk, and he had a newspaper over his face, you know. And the old preacher looked at him. He said, you know, struck himself, I don't want to sit down outside that person because you could smell him 10 miles away. But he sat down there beside that old person, old homeless person, if you want to say, and he sat down there, and he tried his best not to sit real quiet down and try not to open them up. And all of a sudden, when he sat down, he kind of bumped that man's arm, and he woke him up. He pulled his paper down, and he looked over, and he seen that the man was a pastor because he had that little tag over his left heart showing all what he did, and doctor and lawyer and, you know, minister and all that was on his thing. And he looked over and he said, preacher, said, let me ask you a question. And the preacher said, all right, son. So what can I do for you? He said, what causes arthritis? And right then, before he thought, he looked at that person. He said, well, now it's my time to really drive it home what he's doing, you know, what's wrong. He said, well, it's drinking and doing drugs and laying out all night in the gutters and not taking the bath and chasing after women and laying out here in the bars. And he just laid it on for about 10 minutes. He looked at that fellow and he said, why, son, do you got arthritis? He said, no, this Baptist preacher in this paper I was reading about does. You see what I'm trying to say? You know, watch what you're doing that before you judge, you know, and how you talk to people, because you might be sticking your foot in your mouth. Because I know many times that I've went out there and really thought I was really doing good for God, that I had to go back and say I'm sorry for what I said. I had to go back, and I'm not too big, you know. You look at me and you say, not too big. Yeah, I look like these buttons is really holding back a lot, you know. My son today kind of picked with me. He said, Dad, you ought to open up you a bakery. And I said, why? He said, because you got more rolls on that shirt than Boss Bakery does. And he was laughing at me. But I said, one of these days, I said, well, I said, I might be fat, I said, but you ugly. I said, I can lose weight, but, you know, but me and him was picking and cutting up. But I'm just using that to kind of give you a little thing, you know. Watch what you're saying. Watch what you're saying, because the last... the verse that I'm going to give you, then I'm going to close and turn it back over to Keith. And I hope that I might have said something tonight that the Lord can help you. When you go out on visitation, and don't, do too, you know, we need to be a part of this church. Every time, whether you're a member of this church or a member of some other church, we need every time that church door is open, whatever it might be, we need to be here. We need to be here and helping out, whether you go out on visitation, whether you go out Zoom, because you need to be supporting, because somebody might be watching you to see if you really are truly a Christian. You know, but when it comes Wednesday night at 7 o'clock when you're supposed to be here, are you at the church or are you at home sitting on the couch watching the Matlock or CSI? And don't get me wrong, because I love that. I love our movie, because I try to figure out fast and forward who killed them and what did them and stuff like that. But on Sunday morning, do we need to be here, or are we loading up our boats and going to the lake, or loading up our golf course to go golf clubs to go play golf or something? Or, you know, we got to look what we're doing. You know, even when we out here in the stores, you know, or somebody cuts us off, you know, you might say, you know, just jump up, scream, and holler at that person. Well, they might be somebody that you've been witness to, sees you over, that he lose your temper. It might be somebody that's standing, you might not say it, but they're gonna say, well, you know, I was ready to come to church, but why should I come to church? But y'all know Wednesday night he's supposed to have been here, but he's at home, sitting on home eating Oreo cookies and drinking milk, you know, or he's out here cutting his grass in his yard or something like that. But we need to do. And another thing too, and the Lord just laid it on my heart, be careful what coming. You know, there might be Christian people coming to you. I'm just going to say this, is you know, watch what you do. Don't give you monies and your tithes to stuff that's really going to help out. Don't give you stuff, your money away to something that ain't going to be doing no good, you know. For example, don't, because I'm going to say this, and then I'll close, you know, with the thing. You know, I remember when my mama was still living, and I taught my son always to, you know, to trust in the Lord. I remember when my mama was still living and Josh was still at the house, Mama asked Josh, he always said, Josh, come and read this and tell me what he want. And Mama liked Billy Graham, but there's another, she wrote to Billy Graham for something, and some other preacher, I don't remember who it was, anyway, sent my mama a little letter in the mail. And what made me think about it and what the Lord brought to my mind was this right here. But it told her in that letter, said, if you'll send me $5, said, I'll send you a plier rag or a plier cloth that'll take warts off your toes or corns off your toe. But if you give me $100, said, I'll send you a 4-ounce bottle of water that come from the Holy Lands that you can sprinkle over your head and your house and it cure everything. My son took it right then, throw it in the trash can, and reached over on the table before he had his Bible and said, Grandma, right there's the only thing you need right there. That's the only thing you need, and that's what I'll use that for example, because I taught my son through the life to look, you know, trust in God, trust in, you know, and what he needs, everything that he needs is right there. From Genesis to Revelation, you know, and I've heard the preacher say it many times, that sometimes you can, even the mouths of preaching, and that I got to thinking, even the maps, and then one day, a couple of days ago, I started looking at my back of my Bible, looking at the map, and it does, because that every part of that map leads you right to Calvary, points right to Calvary, and you can preach that. But I thank God for you letting me come and preach, and I hope that you got a message out of it. But before, like I said, that was my title, stop, look, and listen before you go out them doors to do something for the Lord. Before you do, make sure what you're doing, it's God and not you, because if you stop and take out a few minutes and think what you're going to say or think what you're going to do, and like I said back in the prayer room, you might not say two words, that if it's God's in it, God take them two words and really make a blessing of it. But if you stop and think something 25 words of your own, then you just do, all you're doing is pushing that person or that thing a whole lot further away from God. And I just thank you. Thank you. Come on, Pastor.